Department of Agriculture that serves as our member to the ad hoc legal committee. David Pope is a consultant with the state of Kansas and is assisting us here. And then Scott Ross is also a member of the engineering committee for the state of Kansas. Others on my staff that I would like to introduce, George Austin is also on the engineering committee, and he is assisting us with the taping and physical arrangements. Mark Billinger is on our staff. Katie Desort is water commissioner. Katie, back in the back, helping us again with the sign-in and so forth. Sam Perkins, let's see, I don't want to miss anybody here. I think that's all of my staff. We'll go around. Let me introduce Attorney General Paul Morrison is present today with us, as is his Deputy Attorney General Mike Leach and Assistant Attorney General John McCaskey. Back and back again. So, others, John Draper is legal counsel for Kansas and Special Attorney General. Dale Book is a consultant in the state of Kansas. Let's see, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. In terms of out in the audience, I see Kenny Nelson of the Kansas Bostic Irrigation District. Thanks for coming. Fred Rogie and is with the Kansas Water Assurance District. Ken Askren with the Kansas Farm Bureau, thanks for coming. And let's see, we have Norm Nelson and Steve Cox here from the Almeda Irrigation District, Prairie Hall Creek. So those are the Kansas I see. I hope I haven't missed anybody. With that, let me pass the mic down to Ken.
Good morning, David. Thank you for hosting this. We appreciate the efforts you and your staff put together in putting this conference. Folks, we're pleased to be here. I'd like to introduce on my left is Mr. Peter Ampey from the Colorado Attorney General's Office, and to his left is Ms. Megan Sullivan of our staff, who is the engineer advisor for this compact. We also have an attendance from the Republican River Water Conservation District, Mr. Dennis Coriel, who is the president, and as well as board member Rick Seedorf and the manager, and wife Stan Murphy and Vicki Murphy are also here from Burlington. They have legal counsel by Mr. David Robbins, and we also have a couple water users who have taken the time to drive a bit of distance here. We have Tony Magnus, as well as Howard Paul, representing Colorado State Parks. I apologize if I've missed anyone, and again, we thank you for hosting us.
Thank you. I'm Ann Lead from Nebraska, the Compact Commission from Nebraska. And with me are my staff. On my left is Brad Edgerton, who does most of the work in the Republican Basin. He's the supervisor of our Cambridge field office. And to my right is Jim Wayans, who is the Republican River Coordinator for the state, took over the job from Mike Thompson, who many of you probably remember from last year. And next to him is Ron Tice, who is one of our attorneys for the state and is on the legal committee for the Republican Compact. Also with me are Jim Schneider and Paul Kester. You raise your hands. They are both groundwater modelers with the state of Nebraska and have been working very hard working on the groundwater model issues and so on for the Republican Compact. There are a number of people here from Nebraska, from the irrigation districts. I see Mike Delka. Mike, do you have any board members with you? And I see Roy Patterson, and he's got several board members with him. You guys want to just stand up? And Don Felker. And Don, I don't know whether you have any board members with you or not. Okay, yeah, right. And then we do have a number of, we have the managers of all four NRDs, and they will be giving a report later so they can introduce whatever board members came with them at that point. And in the back is Justin Levine from the Attorney General's Office, and did I miss anybody else? Thank you.
This could get interesting later in the program. Let me, I guess we obviously have a number of federal representatives here. Let me kind of let them introduce themselves. Mike Ryan is here on behalf of the Bureau of Reclamation, Regional Director for the Great Plains Region and Billing. Do you want to maybe superintend the introduction of your staff or refer that to Steve? Or?
I have so many folks here, I thought I'd just let them introduce themselves as they get up to do their reports, if that's okay.
Oh, that would be perfectly fine. Okay. So the Bureau of People introduce themselves as they come then. Let's see. USGS, Jim Putman, the Kansas District is here, and I believe you'll probably give a report for the USGS.
I don't plan to.
Okay, that's fine. And then the Corps of Engineers, Chris Mercer is here. Welcome. Then with the Natural Resources, NRCS, John Arada is here. Thank you for coming. State Conservation Engineer in Kansas. Okay, with that, hopefully we've covered the introductions properly. Next, I would move to adoption of the agenda. We circulated a draft agenda for the administration's consideration. I guess I would ask if there are any modifications. If not, for a move to approve the agenda as is.
I move approval of the agenda.
All right.
Mr. Garfield, I note that we were having the schedule from 9 to 5, and unfortunately we have a flight up of Kansas City at 4:30, so asking a bit of tolerance, and if folks don't mind, I'm trying to get adjourned a bit earlier if that works. Also, we're looking at having a resolution honoring Al Simpson as well.
Right, okay, so we'll add to the agenda resolutions. We obviously we have a similar one to the 280 folk here, so. Okay, we'll take care of that with new business maybe. Yes, and the room is reserved till 5 o'clock. I certainly am very hopeful that maybe by working through 12:30 or 1, we can get this done. I certainly believe that's possible. Okay, with those modifications, I guess, and I assume that those modifications are fine. So, second. Ken, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, with those modifications, the agenda is approved. Approval of the previous annual minutes. We drafted some annual minutes and have circulated those. I believe all the states have reviewed those and commented we've appropriated all the changes. Have those been signed now? I guess I have. Okay. And copy. There it is. Thank you. So I would move approval of the annual report for last year as the state said we need to. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That annual report is approved. Okay. Next, we'll go to reports by the commissioners. And I guess I'll go ahead and start as chairman. First, in terms of, as I indicated already, David Pope did retire from the state of Kansas after 24 years as chief engineer. On June 18th, he is now a consultant. His primary duties is being executive director to the Missouri River Association of State Tribes, which is a new organization created to deal with the Missouri River issues that he and I have been involved with over the years. We're glad that he had that opportunity. Legislative update. The primary actions legislatively, as I think of interest to this body, are two. Each of the Nebraska and Colorado have implemented conservation reserve enhancement programs in their states to target retirement of irrigated acreage. And state of Kansas, this last legislative session also approved what's the acronym of the CREP. It's actually targeted the upper Kansas River Basin, and the state approved that, and the cost share to allow retirement of 40,000 acres in that basin. It is not being used within the Republican River Basin. In addition, the legislature funded a program called the Water Right Transition Assistance Pilot Program, or WaterTAP is the acronym or the way we refer to it. It was authorized by the 2006 legislative session, and this last legislative session essentially funded it and targeted it, established a pilot program, and established there would be two specific target areas for that program, one of them being the Prairie Dog Creek within the Republican Basin, and the second being the Rattlesnake Creek. The funds are fairly limited, about $1.5 million for this per year for this 5-year pilot, and sign-ups will be underway for that program shortly. I think those are the key legislative things that occurred. Kansas v. Colorado, an update on the Arkansas River. The final decree is we're in the process of wrapping that up, and the special master is working with the states to submit that to the court this fall. This will end that lengthy, costly litigation that began in 1985. It does appear that Colorado will be in compliance for the first 10-year county period that goes from 1997 to 2006. The states have been engaged in some significant negotiations of agreements on daily operations of the compact related to John Martin Reservoir County and their delivery to Kansas. Some long-standing disputes concerning the compact between the states. Climate conditions, obviously, conditions have improved in this year after many dry years. We've had average or above average rainfall through much of the state, including most of the Republican Basin. And as a result, low conditions have improved. I was able to list an administrative order restricting diversions in the Republican River main stem in June of this year for the first time since 2002. Although flows are dropping off at the time we speak. So I'm not 100% sure we're out of the challenges that we've had in recent years, but certainly it's a better year than previous years. Just on a related issue, our state has endured a number of natural disasters this year that I think are noteworthy. We've actually had four declarations of disaster areas in our state as a result, although much of this is outside the Republican Basin. But first one was a severe winter storm that struck western Kansas in early January, depositing several feet of snow and ice. And again, we had a presidential disaster declaration in 42 counties as a result. Parts of that were in the Republican Basin. We had an unusual spring freeze in early April, and that resulted in substantial loss in yield in parts of the state, especially the central part. On May 4th, 2007, we had an EF5 tornado level the town of Waynesburg. I'm sure many of you have heard of this. And there's also a significant amount of damage in surrounding areas as well. Approximately 95% of the town is basically leveled, as you can call that. Many of the residents and businesses are deciding to stay and rebuild, but there's a significant challenge that we have there. That series of storms resulted in, again, the presidential disaster declaration in 41 counties as a result of high winds, tornadoes, and flooding. And again, we had some flooding in southeast Kansas in late June and early July that resulted in a declaration in 21 counties in that state. So up to 21 inches reported in some areas, and significant damages in southeast Kansas, including some spillage from a refinery in Coffeyville. Again, you've probably heard of those. So very unusual year. I hope we don't have another one like this anytime soon. Just a few specific things related to the Republican Basin and some of our activities there. We've reported in the past about the Almena Irrigation District negotiating with the Department of Wildlife and Parks related to operating that reservoir to just enhance the fish and wildlife benefits of that reservoir. This year, a 10-year contract was negotiated between the Department of Wildlife and Parks and Alvena to just stabilize both the minimum pool and allow the irrigation district to continue operations, which my understanding is they did release the water this year, but limits them to a minimum pool. We've been working with them on that to ensure that that any increases of evaporation or groundwater pumping are offset through retirement of acres, and again, if you equip a federal program to accomplish those reductions necessary to ensure that we stay in compliance with with our obligation of the settlement. And so we've been working with NRCS to target the equip funding within the Upper Republican Basin, not just in Oriole Creek. Again, I mentioned the water TAP program that's funded this year that we're going to be using in Prairie Dog or Redding. Groundwater Management District Number 4 and the division are working on a metering program that would meter all the wells within Groundwater Management District Number 4. We metered all of the alluvial wells and surface water uses in 1997. This is allowing us to meter all the wells within the basin. It's phased in over 4 years. We're actually in the second year, but about 75% of the meters have been put into place already. In addition, GMD4 basically made a change in their management such that the small use exemptions for diversions under 15-acre feet that is allowed has been eliminated unless there is an offsetting reduction in consumptive use associated with that change. I think with that, will conclude my report. If you have any questions, why don't I go ahead and take those at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Can you remind me where Groundwater Management District Number 4 is?
Okay, Groundwater Management District Number 4 is in the northwest corner of our state. It includes significant pieces of the upper tributaries for the Republican River Basin. So is that enough description? Other questions? Okay, with that I'll pass the mic to Ken.
Thank you, Dave. What we'd like to do first is just share a little bit of base of our hydrologic conditions that we experienced in 2006 that I think is indicative of some of the actions that Colorado water users in the state are working towards combat compliance. First of all, the total precipitation array on the North Fork was 13.64 inches, which is in comparison the 18 to 2006 average was 16.33. But of course the basis and measure and limit of these water rights are based upon stream flows. And the total recorded stream flow in the North Fork state line was 17,200 acre feet, which is 13,780 less than the historic average of almost 31,000. The total recorded stream flow on the rivery at the state line was 400 acre feet, and that's a significant decline from the 1933 to 2006, which is 12,920 acre feet. On the South Fork, it's a little bit more draconian. For the third straight year, we recorded the zero flow. And that's based upon a long-term average that's significantly higher in that basin as well. Last year, we also reported on what we refer to as the Pioneer litigation, and this was an action where the plaintiffs were alleging injury to their senior surface water rights, brought in part because of well pumping and other groundwater withdrawals. There was a motion for summary judgment and termination of law that was brought before the Colorado Groundwater Commission. That is an appointed group of individuals that sit as the adjudicatory body for the Northern High Plains. That was subsequently referred back to the Yuma County District Court, and on June 23rd of this year, Judge Connie Peterson remanded that case back again to the Groundwater Commission, and I'd like to just share with you a few of her primary findings. That she remanded it back to be consistent with her order that designated groundwater as a matter of law impacts surface water flows greater than it cannot as a matter of law impact surface flows greater than a de minimis amount. The second was whether a groundwater pumping that impacts a stream in something less than 100 years has more than de minimis impact on surface flows remains a question of law, fact for determinations on a case-by-case basis. The third, pertinent especially to those of us that were involved with the Republican River Compact Administration groundwater model, she held specifically that it is competent, relevant, and admissible evidence in this matter. And fourth, that the plaintiffs were not entitled to a legal presumption of injury, and that again would be determined on a case factual basis. I'd also like to turn our attention to some of the actions that the water users in the state of Colorado are taking towards combat compliance. And the first is under the general rubric of land use and retirement programs. Excuse me, for this is more statistics that have been prepared in conjunction with the Republican River Water Conservation District. For the EQIP program, we have a total of 89 wells that have been taken out in two phases. In 2005, 30 wells, which represented retirement of 3,228 acres. In 2006, 59 wells for 7,557 acres. Similar to the program that David referred to, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, try to pronounce that very carefully. In 2006, we had 109 wells taken out, which represents 16,607 acres under permanent retirement. And then in 2007, we had 22,643 acres targeted. We also have one-year lease that represent 1,723 acres and also a lease on surface water. So succinctly, the state of Colorado recognizing her obligations, 214 wells, 29,432 acres. Of that amount, 23,104 were permanent retirement. And that represents a financial commitment by the district of over $6.58 million to these programs. I should also inform the group that we are seeking amendment of another 30,000-acre CREP program that would target land and wells within 4 miles of three major river systems in Colorado, that being the North Fork, the Rickery, and the South Fork of the Republic. I'd like to also turn to Bonnie Reservoir, the one large federal reservoir that was built within the Republican River Basin in Colorado. Over the winter, Bonnie Reservoir stored approximately 2,200 acre feet out of compliance with the compact. And pursuant to provisions of Article 9 of the compact, and also specifically the water storage decree for Bonnie Reservoir, which is case number W193577, a order was issued by the state engineer to release that water. That began on May 22nd, 2007, and ended at June 5th, 2007. And it was seized due to adverse hydrologic conditions. But a total of 1,359 was released, and subsequently 317 acre feet of that did eventually reach the South Fork gauging station in Pinkerton, Nebraska. We anticipate the remainder of that release, as well as all other stormwater inflow that accrued over the summer months, to be released later this fall in conformance again with requirements under the compact, as well as their storage degree. And I do wish to publicly acknowledge and thank the United States Bureau of Reclamation for their collaborative and just frankly helpful assistance in this matter. Releasing water from a reservoir is not something anyone likes to do, but it's a lawful and necessary act that had to occur. We look forward to working with them in the future on that. A couple of other matters I'd like to draw your attention to, and that's in regard to what we refer to as Republican River Compact Rules. The state engineer's office is currently in the process of drafting a comprehensive set of rules that would target surface water, storage water, and groundwater, all uses and diversions above a certain amount. By certain amount, I'm talking about wells that we refer to as high capacity, not the individual domestic or stock water wells that are not subject to compound accounting. We are anticipating filing those rules sometime later this fall. The second set of rules that is being performed on a coincident time frame is what we refer to as measurement rules, and that is to require the installation of a totalizing flow meter or power conversion coefficient on all high capacity wells within the Republic of the River Basin as well. Again, we anticipate those rules being filed later this fall as well. We are conducting a series of public meetings. A few weeks ago, we had 5 public information meetings from Holyoke to Burlington that were performed in cooperation with the Conservation District and others to inform the public of these 2 sets of rules that I just mentioned and some of our actions that we're taking towards current state of compact compliance and what we're doing towards them. They were rather well received in the sense of attendance. As far as what we had to say, this is a very difficult matter. Compact rule enforcement is something that we do in Colorado on other basins and have done so and will continue to do so for decades. But this is a unique situation in the sense it's new to the Republican River Basin in Colorado. So folks are justifiably concerned and I very much welcome and encourage their comments, and they're not shy about telling us what they think about those rules, which is a good thing. I would also briefly like to draw the Compact Administration's attention to what we refer to as the Compact Compliance Pipeline. As you are aware, in the final settlement stipulation of Kansas v. Colorado in Nebraska, number 126 original, there's a provision that the state of Colorado may develop an augmentation pipeline used to offset consumptive uses. We are in the very preliminary stages of that. The feasibility study was released to perform just the first engineering look at that to see whether it's feasible, its extent, and the cost. We anticipate that to be completed in December of this year. It is a long term. It is a very complex issue. It's something that will take much time and effort, but I wanted to make sure that the Compact Administration was aware that that was on the horizon and is certainly within our planning and consideration aspects. In summary, Colorado is attempting to reach compliance through 4 collective actions there. One is the promulgation of the rules to govern the diversion, use, and measurement of water resources. Second being those that require the totalizing flow meter or power conversion coefficient, land retirement programs, as well as looking into the feasibility of a compact compliance pipeline. And folks, that concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'd be pleased to entertain them.
Ken, I appreciate that report and what the state of Colorado is doing. On the last item, the compact compliance pipeline, as you indicated, the settlement provides for this in the document. It also provides, and just to that augmentation plans and related accounting procedures submitted under this section, this subsection 3B1K, shall be approved by the RCA prior to implementation. I guess I assume you're aware of that, and that you'll be bringing that issue up at the appropriate time.
Yes, sir. I am very well aware of that provision. And it's correctly stated, David. And folks, what we're trying to do, though, is make people aware that this is at the very beginning, this is the outset. It's premature for us to bring that to the commission at this point because we're not sure at this juncture how far or what Colorado will do. But yes, we recognize that that would require approval by the compact administration.
Well, yeah, can you tell us a little more about the rules, you know, what you're looking at? I mean, what information you're presenting to the users related to the rules you're presenting?
Okay, the thumbnail of the rules, are you referring to the compact rules or the measured rules or both?
The compact.
The compact rules. What we're doing is balancing the priority system, which is what we use to allocate water within Colorado, in three general categories. We recognize that the most senior as a category are surface water ditches or diversions. Now, supplement to that are storage water rights, Bonnie Reservoir. And third, generally, as a group, not on a discrete well-by-well basis, but most wells were developed afterwards. So what we are targeting is the balance of using a curtailment program that would shut down or curtail wells within a certain region, curtailment zone, of all three river basins based upon their actual physical characteristics, their impact to the streams for curtailment. And then we would also continue to look at the impacts and will administer Bonnie Reservoir, and if necessary, those senior surface water rights. And by senior, I'm talking about water rights that are senior to the compact itself. And this is difficult for folks to envision, but in other river basins in Colorado, we administer senior water rights. By that I mean we curtail them in time and not necessary to meet our compact obligations. And that's part of what these rules will address.
Thank you very much. In Nebraska this year, just a little bit on climate, it's been a very strange year. We've had flooding in parts of the Republican Basin, as well as in other parts of the eastern part of the state. However, the panhandle, the western part of the state, is still extremely dry. We're very worried about fire hazards, and the irrigators up there are really, really struggling because there simply has not been any precipitation in the mountains of Wyoming and in the area of the panhandle. So it's like if you look at a drought map, we've got part of the state is the deep brown, which says extreme drought, and the rest of the state looks great. So we're kind of split in two climatically. In general, in the state, we've been working very hard this year to make some positive changes that we think will serve to achieve compliance with the Republican River Compact. A key step was a legislative step, and that was the passage by the legislature of LB 701. This bill was kind of an omnibus bill put together of a number of separate bills that were all drawn together and had a number of provisions. I will go over the ones that are basically related to the Republican Basin. These key provisions included funding for drier leasing of surface water rights for 2007 in the amount of $3 million. Creation of a water resources cash fund, which was funded at a level of $2.7 million per year for the next 2 years, with the expectation that this funding level would be continued until fiscal year 2018-19. The bill also provided authority for the Republican River Basin Natural Resources Districts to levy additional taxes for projects that will assist in compact compliance. And finally, the bill created a riparian vegetation task force, which was funded at a level of $2 million per year for the next 2 years. Let me go into some of those provisions in a little bit more detail. The Water Resources Cash Fund, I should mention that in addition to being funded at a level of $2.7 million in the next 2 years and hopefully on out to 20, 2018-19. Also, in the year 2013, we'll receive money, or is expected to receive money, from the excise tax leveled on corn and grain sorghum. The expected tax was increased slightly and will be 3/5 of a cent per bushel for corn and 3/5 of a cent per hundredweight for grain sorghum. The cash fund will be administered by the Department of Natural Resources and is to be used for management activities to reduce consumptive uses of water in basins that are considered by the state to be over-appropriated or fully appropriated in accordance with the state's new integrated water resources management law that was passed in 2004. To the extent funds are not expended for those purposes, it can be used to do some other statewide assessments of water use. Expenditures from the funds may also be used by natural resources districts to help them achieve a sustainable balance between supply and use and assure compact compliance. To obtain these funds, the natural resources districts have to cost share at greater than 40% of the total cost of the activity. Using the funds made available by the governor and the legislature to assist in compact compliance, in 2007, the state entered into an agreement with great cooperation from the folks from the Nebraska-Bostwick Irrigation District. We really appreciate the work of their board in also the work of the Bureau of Reclamation in helping to make this possible. And we leased 12,500 acre feet of water from Harlan County Lake. And we also have leased the use of all the natural flow that would be available for the district to divert below Harlan County Lake. The state paid a total of $5,648,000 for that water. That was the $3 million from the Water Resources Cash Fund, or $3 million from the appropriation from the legislature, and then the remainder came from the Water Resources Cash Fund this year. We, you might remember, made a similar purchase of water from Nebraska-Bostwick last year, spending a total of $3,264,500. We achieved or bought about 23,500 acre feet of water, and of that, 10,000 actually made it to the state line in Kansas. We expect the water we purchased this year, in addition to some water that the Natural Resources District's purchased, and you'll hear about that later, we expect we'll have over 35,000 acre feet of water that will actually be delivered to Kansas in 2007 from water purchases. One of the concerns that we had, however, of the 23,000 acre feet from Nebraska-Bostwick last year, we were disappointed that only 10,000 acre feet made it to Kansas. And one of the major problems we had was the vegetation that had grown in the river below Harlan County Lake that prevented the water from actually reaching Guide Rock. And in part, in reaction to that experience, in trying to get water through the Quab Channel, the legislature did create the Riparian Vegetation Task Force and funded it, as I said before, $2 million per year. The task force, which consists of a number of state agencies, other governmental agencies, and people from various river basins in the state, was charged with developing and prioritizing vegetation management goals and objectives, analyzing the cost-effectiveness of available vegetation treatments, developing plans and policies to achieve the stated goals and objectives, and making preliminary recommendations to the governor and the legislature regarding funding and legislation needed to achieve the goals of managing vegetation. The Department of Agriculture was charged with managing the grants that would come from the $2 million per year. And this year, they awarded four grants, including two in the Republican Basin, $772,500 was given to the Eastern Republican Riparian Improvement Project to expand ongoing efforts to control invasive riparian plants around Harlan County Reservoir and along the Republican River and its tributaries. And $814,617 to the Western Republican Riparian Improvement Project to complement and extend management of invasive plants in the west all the way out to the Colorado border. The Southwest Weed Management Area was formed in 2006 and includes county weed superintendents, Southwest Nebraska RC&D offices, the Upper Republican and Middle Republican and NRCS and other agencies that are implementing that grant. LB 701 also provided authority for natural resources districts subject to an interstate compact among three or more states, and that's pretty much targeting the Republican Basin, to issue bonds and to assess an occupation tax upon the activity of irrigation or agricultural land within the district on an annual basis, not to exceed $10 per irrigated acre or levy a tax, not to exceed 10 cents per $100 of taxable valuation of all taxable property in the district. And this is for the purposes of repaying the bonds. The bonds may only be used to pay or refinance the acquisition of purchase or lease the surface water rights, the canals, in other words, including reservoirs constructed for irrigation, for vegetation management, and the augmentation of river flows. The Upper Republican, Middle Republican, Lower Republican NRDs worked extremely hard to make this legislation a reality, and they have taken major steps to take advantage of the legislation, and they will be reporting on those activities later on in the report. The Nebraska has also taken advantage of the CREP and EQIP program. We have removed 50,000 acres from irrigation in the Republican Basin as a result of those programs. Through the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, 35,500 acres have been converted to grassland. And through the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, about 12,100 acres have been converted from irrigated land to dry land farming. Of these, over 2,000 acres are permanently retired. The state also developed last year an integrated water management funding program, particularly for providing funds to natural resources districts. The Republican River Basin NRDs applied for and received funding from the state's program to identify potential augmentation supplies for the Republican River and to conduct a technical appraisal of augmentation projects utilizing those supplies. And that program is underway. The Department of Natural Resources is also working with the districts to do an appraisal of augmentation projects. And they, we do understand that they will have to be approved by the Republican River Compact Administration. They also applied for and received funding for riparian management study and devastation project to remove invasive species and excessive native plant species on a 1 mile length of the Republican River in each of the three natural resources districts along the river. These are demonstration projects to determine which methods work best to manage invasive species and also to assess the impact of those removals on water supplies. We're working very closely with the University of Nebraska. Darrell Martin, who's in the audience, you'll be hearing from a little later, I believe, is also working on that project, and the Department of Natural Resources, as well as the university, have committed significant funding to that project. We have an ongoing collaboration work by the department with the Natural Resources Districts, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but before I do that, I want to turn the microphone over to Brad Edgerton, who will tell you a little bit about surface water supplies and administration in the Republican in Nebraska.
Thank you, Ann. I'm going to start out with 2006. Frenchman Valley, Riverside, Franklin, Napanee, Franklin Pump, Superior, and Court Canal users were compensated not irrigated in 2006. Meeker Driftwood, Culbertson Extension, and Red Willow Canals did not endure to a shortage of storage water. Pioneer Irrigation District operated as normal. Bartley and Cambridge Canal operated with a limited supply. Extremely low flows below Guide Rock Diversion Dam caused extensive water administration in that reach. On March 31, 2006, the Cambridge Field Office notified all junior permit holders below Harlan County Reservoir that the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation has estimated the irrigation supply in Harlan County Reservoir to be less than 130,000 acre feet. Therefore, all permits junior to February 26, 1948 would be denied surface water in 2006. On June 23, 2006, all junior permits between Harlan County Reservoir and Guide Rock Diversion Dam were closed as required by the final settlement stipulation, and all senior permits were regulated to their legal limit. This order was lifted on August 17, 2006. From July 5th to July 12th, all permits junior to August 26, 1940, located upstream of Superior, Nebraska, and downstream from Harlan County Reservoir, were closed to satisfy a natural flow permit located near Superior. This administration was repeated again from July 30th to August 8th. Storage water released from Hugh Butler and Harry Strunk was protected from the reservoir to the designated diversion dam. The Frenchman-Cambridge Irrigation District did not place a call for natural flow, as this would have required upstream reclamation reservoirs to bypass inflow. On August 25th, Reclamation placed a call on all appropriated storage reservoirs located above Swanson Lake, Enders Reservoir, Hugh Butler Lake, and Harry Strunk Lake in the Republican Basin, and Box Butte Reservoir located on the Niobrara River. The following appropriations were ordered to bypass inflow: 15 appropriations located above Swanson Lake, no appropriations above Enders Reservoir, 2 appropriations above Hugh Butler Lake, and 13 appropriations above Harry Strunk Lake. These orders remain in effect today with the exception of the 13 appropriations located above Harry Strunk, which were open on March 19, 2007. Water Administration in 2007, Pioneer Irrigation District irrigated as normal and is currently still irrigating. Meeker Driftwood, Red Willow, and Bartley Canal did not divert due to a shortage of storage water. Frenchman Valley, Riverside, Cambridge, Napanee, Franklin Pump, Superior, and Cortland Canal were compensated not to irrigate in 2007. The estimated consumptive use portion of Frenchman Valley and Riverside Canal is being protected through Harlan County Lake. 26,000 acre feet has been released from Harry Strunk Lake, and the estimated consumptive use portion of that water was protected to Harlan County Lake. 12,500 acre feet of Nebraska Bostwick storage supply was purchased and made available for use by Kansas Bostwick Irrigation District. In addition to the 12,500 acre feet of storage water, all of the natural flow available at Guide Rock Diversion Dam was made available to Kansas Bostwick. On June 30, 2007, the irrigation supply in Harlan County Lake was less than 130,000 acre feet. On July 4, 2007, senior permits were regulated and closing notices were issued to all junior permits junior to February 26, 1948, located between Harlan County Lake and Guide Rock Diversion Dam, as required by the final settlement stipulation. This order remains in effect today. No reclamation project canals in Nebraska are operating this year, so all natural flow permits located above Harlan County Lake are regulated to the legal limit.
Thank you, Brad. I'd like to ask Jasper Fanning. Where are you, Jasper? Dan was worried for a minute. He didn't know where you were. Jasper's going to give the report to the Natural Resources Districts.
Find a podium where I can set my notes here. Good morning, I'm Jasper Fanning, the General Manager of the Upper Republican Natural Resources District. I'll be giving the report for all four of Nebraska's Republican Basin Natural Resources Districts this morning. Also in the crowd are the general managers of the other three districts, Dan Smith of the Middle Republican, Mike Clemens of the Lower Republican, and John Thorburn of Tri-Basin Natural Resources District. Nebraska's Republican River Natural Resources Districts continue to assist the state of Nebraska in complying with its compact obligations. While trying to minimize the economic impact of any reduction in compact beneficial consumptive use that we're required to make, the Natural Resources Districts, in conjunction with the state, are accomplishing this through the continued implementation of our integrated management plans adopted in 2005. The Natural Resources Districts believe that the holistic approach of these plans, when fully implemented, will keep Nebraska in compliance with its compact obligations. The integrated management plans contain two key components. First, the plans require that the districts continue to regulate and imposing regulations on groundwater withdrawals. Groundwater pumping will be regulated to control depletions to the extent necessary to keep Nebraska's depletions within our average allocation. The second component, the plans implement targeted reductions in consumptive use during water short periods that will reduce Nebraska's consumptive use to the extent necessary to maintain Nebraska's depletions within our allocation during water short periods. Further, the integrated management plans require that we continue to examine the feasibility of additional compliance activities such as vegetation management and stream flow augmentation. The Natural Resources Districts have imposed regulations basin-wide. These regulations have resulted in Nebraska reducing its pumping in excess of 5%. Coupled with land retirement programs initiated by the districts and the state, such as CREP and EQIP, Nebraska has significantly reduced its consumptive use. Dealing with water short conditions has proven to be a more difficult issue. Nebraska was able to pass legislation just this past year that will allow the Natural Resources Districts and the state to implement the water short portions of the existing integrated management plans. Following the passage of LB 701, additional water short activities were implemented. LB 701 allows Nebraska's Republican River Basin Natural Resources Districts to collect tax funds via two different tax vehicles. First, the districts may levy up to 10 cents per $100 evaluation. And secondly, we can levy up to $10 per irrigated acre in the form of an occupation fee. These tax revenues may only be used to fund bonds for projects authorized under the River Flow Enhancement Act for the purposes of compact compliance with the intent of minimizing the economic impact of complying with the compact. To date, the water short activities implemented consist primarily of targeted irrigation retirement programs, which have been targeted to reducing irrigation that will have an impact of reducing Nebraska's compact beneficial consumptive use in the necessary accounting period. For instance, this year the NRDs paid the Frenchman Cambridge, the Riverside, and the Frenchman Valley Irrigation Districts a total of about $8.6 million in incentives to forego irrigation during the 2007 irrigation season, solely to reduce Nebraska's compact beneficial consumptive use during the water short year by approximately 24,000 acre feet. This is in addition to the irrigation supply of Nebraska Bostwick Irrigation District, leased by the state for the same purpose. In addition, the irrigation rights of 2,640 acres were permanently retired under an EQIP special initiative program within the basin, within the quick response area. Additional activities with short-term benefits are currently being implemented at the current time. Basin NRDs are working with two weed management areas that Ann spoke of earlier within the basin. These weed management areas have submitted project proposals for repairing vegetation management with funds appropriated as a result of LB 701. The Twin Valley Weed Management Area and the Southwest Weed Management Area received $2,745,000. Together, the two projects will remove invasive species from the Kansas-Nebraska border to the Nebraska-Colorado border in the stream of the main stem Republican. This year, contractors are to spray the river channel by air and land starting in August from the Cambridge Canal diversion down to Hardy, where the Republican enters Kansas. In addition, they will spray Harlan County Reservoir, where over 3,000 acres of exposed mudflats are riddled with salt cedar and phragmites. All four basin NRDs are participating in these grants with cash and in-kind services. Also, we are moving forward with discussions discussions with irrigation districts to identify possibilities for long-term agreements for future purchases or leases of surface water to reduce Nebraska's compact beneficial consumptive use during water-short periods. Utilization of the authorities within LB 701, particularly projects involving river flow enhancement, will continue. As with most legislation, LB 701 was not a one-time using your authority. As the needs of the basin are further defined, basin natural resources districts will continue to utilize the provisions found in LB 701 and other state statutes to help Nebraska maintain compliance with the compact. The natural resources districts are involved in three studies funded by the Interrelated Water Management Plan Program Fund to evaluate additional water management activities related to compact compliance. The natural resources districts are using $174,000 for the Republican River Basin Riparian Management Study and Demonstration Project. This project will also include about $600,000 of input from DNR and UNL, as Ann mentioned, for equipment to measure and monitor ET at the demonstration sites and to determine the benefit of this type of vegetation management. The Republican River Augmentation Study received a grant award of $136,000. To date, the study has identified 10 potential sites based upon hydrologic and geographic characteristics from which stream flows could be augmented with groundwater supplies during water short periods. Infrastructure and construction costs have been estimated for each of the sites, and the next phase of the analysis is in estimating the cost-to-benefit ratios of the selected sites, which requires that we estimate the stream flow depletions that might be caused from any additional pumping in that area and what offsets may be required to offset those depletions. We are currently awaiting these estimates from the modeling assistance that the Department of Natural Resources is providing us. Tri-Basin NRD has also received an IWMPPF grant of $224,000 to accelerate its dedicated observation well drilling project. This NRD will drill at least one dedicated groundwater observation well in every township throughout its district. The data gathered from these wells will enable the Tri-Basin Natural Resources District to more precisely and proactively manage their groundwater resources in the groundwater mound, which provides an important and substantial contribution of imported water to the Republican Basin. This data will also be used to improve the accuracy of the Republican River and Cohites computer models. In summary, Nebraska's natural resources districts are committed to continuing our current regulations to reduce depletions to the extent necessary, such that Nebraska's compact beneficial consumptive uses within its allocation on average. Further, the natural resources districts are continuing to implement the recently funded activities to reduce Nebraska's compact beneficial consumptive use during water short periods. We believe that the continued implementation and funding of these plans will allow Nebraska to maintain our consumptive use within our compact allocation during both average and water short periods. Especially given the reservoir levels in the basin have rebounded from their water short levels, allowing the actions that we've implemented to date sufficient time to take effect. And that concludes my report. Thank you. And since I gave the report, the other managers will field all questions. Yeah.
I just had a few more final remarks. I think that we have been working very hard in Nebraska on a number of activities to do what we need to do for compact compliance. I don't think I can emphasize strongly enough how difficult these decisions are. It affects a lot of people in the basin and their livelihoods and future of the communities in the basin, but we are working very hard, and we're working now on developing a plan to move forward in the next few years so that we will achieve compact compliance. As Jasper mentioned, our plans do include a number of components. We're trying to get them all put together. They will include reductions in our allocations or irrigate number of acres irrigated. Hopefully, they will also include some dry year leasing, additional prep and equipment, incentive programs, vegetation management activities, and augmentation plans. I am optimistic that in the next few months, we will have much more details put together and finalize our activities for the near future. Thank you. Is there any questions we'll be glad to answer?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions, and I'll go ahead and ask them all now, if you don't mind. You, or Jasper, I hear you.
Come on up, Jasper.
If I understood you correctly, as far as the integrated water management plans, the second component is targeting reductions in consumptive use. And I was specifically interested in your thoughts towards the balance of permanent versus temporary reductions in CU. The other is in regards to your invasive species. Perhaps I didn't catch it, but how much are you allocating, say, per acre, the cost to eradicate those species? And then further, what would be the maintenance cost per acre? Because one of the frustrations we all have is once they're eradicated, they tend to come back unless they're dressed year after year. So
thoughts on temporary versus permanent. There is a balance there, and I'm not we don't have any set proportion. We need to permanently retire sufficient acres to meet our long-term average consumptive use restrictions under the compact, and then to work out some kind of temporary retirement to deal with water short years. And exactly where that balance is, Kim, I'm not exactly sure, but we do understand that there will need to be more permanent retirement of irrigated acres in the basin. But given that the basin supplies fluctuate greatly, as you well know, we certainly want to have the ability to take advantage of flow when it's available, but then we will need the ability to restrict consumptive use when it isn't. As far as the vegetation management cost, that's part of what the Vegetation Task Force is going to be looking at, just how much, what are the effective methods for both removal initially and maintaining the removal, and how much that costs. And Jasper probably would like to add something to that.
Actually, I was thinking John Thorburn might have a better handle on what the numbers are. I think that what we've done in Nebraska in the two different weed management areas, there are different densities of the different species which require, you know, the most cost-effective removal in one area may be spraying, and what we're seeing on the upper end is that they're actually looking at both spraying and mechanical removal, depending on what species are present. As far as cost allocated to maintenance, most of the efforts within the state are cooperative efforts with landowners, and for them to get the benefits of the projects on their lands, one of the things that they have to commit to is following up with the spraying necessary to control the species from coming back in after the initial clearing. So a lot of that cost, they may be able to get cost share through the federal government and make potentially even through other state funding, but the majority of that burden falls back on the landowner. And within Nebraska, I want to say that in the Twin Valley weed management area, they had 90-some percent of the landowners that signed the agreements, and I was seeing very similar responses in the recent meetings in the southwest weed management area, the upper parts of the basin, where the landowners, a very large percentage of the landowners, were eagerly signing up to participate and allow the clearing on their lands, and didn't seem to make them back away, that they had some responsibilities as well.
Yeah, just an idea of ballpark cost.
John, would you field that question? Because I know you have a better handle on it than I do.
Yes, Mr. Knox, Commissioners. John Thorburn of the Prairie Basin Natural Resources District. I've been working with the Twin Valley Weed Management Area, which is developing a program to address riparian vegetation and invasive species in the Republican from Cambridge Canal downstream to the Nebraska line. We anticipate we're going to be treating about 3,000 acres of the river channel itself and eliminating all vegetation within the river channel to the extent possible. Most of that work will initially be done with herbicide application, much of it by helicopter. The helicopter applications, the cost of the use of the helicopter ranges from about $60 to $90 per acre, and then there are different types of herbicide to use depending on which type of vegetation you're going after. The Rodeo Roundup type of glyphosate herbicide is relatively inexpensive, roughly $20 per acre. There is another herbicide product called Habitat that we use on the invasive salt cedar and Phragmites that is much more expensive and ranges from $120 to $150 per acre. That's how we reset the system and try to take care of the invasive vegetation and just the growth in the channels that is developed during the drought. Once we've done that, we think that mechanical means, disking, and also intensive grazing by livestock will help us maintain the channel and the riparian areas in the reset condition in a more native condition.
Well, that's a good question. What benefit for compact compliance, and also the basic issue is what benefit to the river. The first benefit we see to the river is getting rid of the clogging vegetation, which prevents water from flowing down the channel. And that is not insignificant. We had reports last year when we released, I believe, 400 CFS from Holland Lake that there was lowland flooding as a result because the channel was so clogged. And that is not a good situation for either Nebraska or Kansas. So that's the first benefit we see. In terms of whether or not we're going to reduce the consumptive use of water through phreatophyte vegetation, that is why we are putting a significant amount of money into studies by the university on these test plots to find out what, in fact, the difference in the consumptive use before and after treatment will be from this vegetation. We're certainly aware of the long-term impact as well needs to be looked at. In the first year, based on other studies of clearance, you can often see a fairly large impact that very first year on stream flow, but then once you maintain the clear channel, it doesn't continue. So we're trying to gather information on that to find out exactly what the impacts are. Once that is done, then we will think about to what extent it's going to assist in compact compliance, et cetera.
Just one more follow-up. Again, the best in compact compliance, we have to, essentially, as I understand it, real water has to be engaged. That would result in additional allocation. A part of that Nebraska would get a part of that. That's the way we count it. In addition, the model has a feature called ET salvage that I believe would be reduced if you reduce the CFI. So, again, not saying you shouldn't do it, not saying it would be beneficial, but I just want to ensure that Nebraska is being realistic about the benefits of compact compliance and not overly optimistic. So, that's all there. Ken, do you have any more? I guess I have another question on the water shortage here provision. I heard you understand that you're relying primarily, at least as I heard it, on retirement of irrigated acreage. Is there any actual reduction in groundwater pumping that is part of the water short year actions? During these water short years, roughly 80% of the constructive use might have been groundwater in nature, and something on the order of 20% of surface water in nature. So, besides the long term reduction, are there any specific reductions in groundwater pumping in water short years?
I think there are two things that need to be said on that. First of all, as you well know, Dave, the impacts of reducing groundwater pumping on stream do not occur immediately. It's kind of like a large tanker being pushed by a tugboat. Once you get it going, it helps, and that's why we're looking at using our major reductions throughout the district to look at our long-term reductions for the basin. That is not to say, however, that we wouldn't look at groundwater reductions close to the stream, and that we have nicknamed the quick response area in water short years. That is definitely something that could be done. And as I said before, we are now working very hard with the Natural Resources District and the Republican Basin to develop the activities and how we want to manage the water resources in the near term. And we expect to have that done in the fairly near future, partly for compact compliance, but also partly because our irrigators also need to understand what kind of water supply they will have to work with in the next 3 to 5 years. So there is a possibility that there will be some short-term as well as long-term regulations on groundwater as well as other activities.
I've heard a lot of references to getting to compliance. Is there any estimate about when that might occur?
We're working very hard to do that. The drought has hit us very hard as it hit Kansas, and all I can tell you is we're committed to doing it, and we're working very hard. Exactly when we'll be in compliance in the future, I cannot exactly say what the numbers will be for a number of reasons, not the least of which is you can tell me what the weather is going to be, I can tell you what kind of reductions we're going to have to make. But the only thing I can do today is tell you we're working very hard to do that.
On the audit plans again, I understand that you understand that those need to be discussed here. And just, you know, we urge you to bring those plans forward as soon as it's right. There's probably quite a few details to work out in that to ensure that those actions are taken, in the accounting, how it fits in the accounting, all mesh, and that the benefits are real. And properly accounted for. So again, bring those when you can. So, any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that report. So where we are in the agenda, I wanted to take a break, let's try and press the. Let's get the federal reports done, and then perhaps we'll take a brief break. That point. So, who from the Bureau? Steve.
Good morning. I'm Steve Brunzak. I'm Deputy Area Manager for the Nebraska-Kansas Area Office in Grand Island. Kind of substituting here for Aaron Thompson. Thompson. We just got a new area manager. He started work last week. This week, his schedule has him in Nevada. He's sorry he couldn't be here. I'm sure he wants to meet you folks and get working with you. A lot of work ahead of us, I'm sure. I'd like to introduce a few people here from Reclamation. Mike Ryan, Regional Director, he was introduced previously. We're glad Mike could make this fit into his schedule. This is important to our office and his. I'd like to also introduce Pat Berger, Hydrology Group Leader from Regional Office in Billings. Gordon Hancock from Billings. He's been working with the compact issues here throughout, well, since implementation settlement, the whole works. Scott Gunther from a regional office in Billings. He works in hydrology. He'll be giving the conservation report. From McCook, we got Mark Swanda, head of our McCook field office. He'll be giving a report on his field office activities shortly. Bill Peck from McCook. He'll be reporting the reservoir conditions and outlooks. And Jack Wergen from Grand Island. He'll be talking about some of our other reclamation programs. Thank you.
Good morning. Mark Swanda from the McCook office, and I'll just touch a little bit on not so much the water in here just quick, and then I'll turn it over to Bill Peck to give a report on our reservoir activities and federal project activities for last year and where we are at this time this year. But I wanted to make you aware of some safety of dams issues that we have at three of our dams in the basin. And at Norton Dam, we are in the process right now of some construction activities out there this summer to deal with some seepage issues we have in the left abutment. And so those activities should be complete this fall out there and complete that work, needed work that's been there for some time. At Andrews Dam, we noticed a depression back in 2004, and we've installed instrumentation and continue to monitor that and do risk assessments to decide what kind of a fix, if there is one needed to take care of that issue out there. And the third one is Red Willow Dam. In our normal inspection process in 2005, we noticed some materials by one of the the drains underneath the outlet works when we dewatered that. And so we think we may have an issue there with the drain system there, and that we continue to monitor and work on any possible fix that we may need out there. I'd also let you know that, you know, we have a real active emergency management program at all our dams, and the exercises that we'll be having in 2007 will include tabletop and functional exercises at Kerwin Dam, Bonnie, Cedar Bluff, and Enders. So that you're aware of that, if you are on your staff that are working in those areas, we appreciate their help and attendance at those things. Unless there are questions with that, I would now turn it over to Bill Peck. He's the chief of our water operations group in the McCook office, and I think he's got a report that kind of the same thing we usually hand out that he'll present to you and cover some of the highlights of 2006 and where we're at this year in 07.
Thank you. Good morning. As Mark said, I'm out of the water operations branch in McCook, Nebraska. I'm here to provide a brief overview of Reclamation Reservoir Operations in 2006. We're handing out a summary report of these operations, and we do have some extra copies that we'll make available for others that are interested in that. To begin with, in 2006, precipitation in the Republican River Basin varied from 87% of normal at Lovell Dam to 113% of normal at Norton Dam. Total precipitation varied from 16.5 inches at Bonnie Dam to 27.5 inches at Norton Dam. The overall average precipitation for all reclamation dams in the basin was approximately 101% normal. Inflows to these reservoirs varied from only 24% of the most probable forecast at Harlan County Lake to 77% of the most probable forecast at Harry Strunk Lake. The average computed inflow for all reclamation reservoirs in the basin was only 45% normal. The precipitation, outflow, and some storage data can be found in Table 1 of the report for 2006, and we have some information for 2007 on Table 2. Farm delivery for reclamation projects in the basin was very limited. In 2006, only 2 of the 6 irrigation districts delivered water. Those were Preston Cambridge Irrigation District and Kansas Boswick Irrigation District, and both of these districts operated with a limited supply. So the 14 canals serving the project lands in the Republican River Basin, only 4 delivered water in 2006. And as you see from the table on the report, none of those canals delivered over 7 inches. We've also provided a few notes on individual reservoirs. Beginning at the west end of the basin, we have Bonnie Reservoir in northeastern Colorado. Bonnie started the year out, 2006, 19 feet below the top of conservation. The annual computed inflow was slightly over 6,000 acre feet, and that is the second lowest recorded at the reservoir, the lowest being in 2004. Below normal inflows were recorded every month of the year. Even though no releases were made from Bonnie Reservoir in 2006, the lake level ended the year 2.3 feet below where we started. A new historical low reservoir level was reached in December, about 21 and a half feet below full. Friend of Reservoir on Frenchman Creek started the year out 26 feet below the top of conservation. The annual computed inflow of just over 4,000 acre feet was the lowest ever recorded at the site. And no releases were made from Enders Reservoir in 2006. It was the fifth consecutive year that HNRW Irrigation District did not divert water due to extremely low water supplies. And it should be noted that it was the first year that Culbertson Canal did not divert any water into the canal. Previously, they would always divert at least the natural flow. The end of the year elevation was approximately half foot less than where we started, even with no releases. Next, we have the lakes serving the Preston Cambridge Irrigation District. At the start of the year, Swanson Lake was 20 and a half feet below full, Hugh Butler was 11 and a half feet below full, and Harry Strunk was only 5 and a half feet below the top of conservation. Computed inflows at both Swanson Lake and Hugh Butler Lakes was again the lowest ever on record. Harry Strunk Lake, on the other hand, did fill to the top of conservation on May 19th. Releases were not made from Swanson Lake in 06. There were no diversions made into Meeker, Driftwood, or Red Willow canals. This was the fourth consecutive year. And again, at the end of the year, Swanson Lake, even though no releases were made, was just about where it started, 20.2 feet below the top of conservation. Hugh Butler Lake was 18 and a half below full pool because they did take some releases for Bartley Canal. And Harris Front Lake ended the year a little over 7.5 feet below. Key Sebelius Lake on Prairie Dog, elevation of the first of the year was almost 18 feet below full. Irrigation releases were not made from the lake in 2006, and the reservoir ended the year again, just slightly less than where we started, a little over 18 feet below full. The elevation of Harlan County Lake at the beginning of 2006 was about 17 and a half feet below the top of conservation. Inflow for the year total just slightly over 30,000 acre feet, and this is the second lowest annual total at Harlan County Lake. Again, 2004 was lower. Boswick and Nebraska Irrigation District did not divert water. It was approximately 12,300 acre feet released for Kansas Boswick Irrigation District use. A water short year administration was in effect, and the lake level at the end of the year was nearly 19 feet below full. That brings us to Lovell, Mr. President Ward. Its level was 3.5 feet below the top of conservation at the beginning of the year. Reservoir did fill the top of conservation on April 14th. Following approval from the Corps of Engineers, the reservoir was allowed to fill an additional 1.6 feet into the flood pool just prior to the irrigation season. The water surface at the end of the year was 6.5 feet below the top of conservation. So just a real quick update on the 2007 reservoir operations, because we did see several significant runoff events this spring that helped partially recharge a few of our reservoirs. Unfortunately, Bonnie Reservoir is not one of them. It's currently 22 feet below full, and again, we're currently at a historic low elevation at the present time. We did release 1,359 acre-feet to the river, and we released an additional 90 acre-feet into Hell Ditch for irrigation during early June. The reservoir level is approximately 2 feet below where we were last year at this time. Swanson Lake is 15.5 feet from full. This is 4 feet above last year at this time. So we did see a little bit of runoff and benefit from that at Swanson. Frederick McCamus Irrigation District is not irrigating from Swanson Lake, and this is the fifth consecutive year. The level of Indirect Reservoir is approximately 17 feet below full. This level is 9.5 feet above last year at this time. The reservoir level increase primarily came from a result from heavy rains in the basin above the reservoir from June the 11th through the 13th. The dam itself is recorded over 7.5 inches above normal for the first 7 months of this year. So we're fairly fortunate there. Still a long ways to go. HNRW Irrigation is not irrigating. This is the sixth year in a row, and it's the fourth consecutive year that Frenchman Valley Irrigation District has not received storage water from vendors. Storage in Hugh Butler Lake is only 6.3 feet below full. The lake level has gained approximately 12.5 feet since the beginning of the year. Frenchman Cambridge Irrigation District, again, is not irrigating from Hugh Butler Lake this year due to the low water supply. Perry's Trunk Lake is currently 3.3 feet below the top of conservation. The lake filled on April 24th. We received some flood inflows following that, and the reservoir peaked at 6 feet into the flood pool in early June. It's been approximately 26,000 acre feet was released from the dam between June 10th and August 13th. T-Sibelius Lake is 15 feet from full. The lake level is about 3 feet above where it was last year. At this time, we did make an irrigation release from July 16th to the 24th, just 2 weeks worth of water supply. Current water service level at Harley County Lake is only 5 feet below full. The lake is almost 14 feet above where we were at this time last year. Storage has increased approximately 136,000 acres of feet, and that's since the beginning of the year. Irrigation releases, of course, did start on June 21st and are currently being made for the Kansas-Bostic Irrigation District lands. Bostic Irrigation District in Nebraska is now irrigated in Harlan County for the fourth consecutive year. And finally, level of reservoir is only about 2 feet from full at the present time. Again, had some decent runoff and rains. Reservoir filled this spring on April 25th, and again, following concurrence with the Corps of Engineers, we were allowed to store an additional 1.6 feet into the reservoir just prior to the irrigation season. Releases began on May 14th, and we last recall Kansas Bostic was planning on delivering about 8 inches from the reservoir, possibly a little more. But anyway, 2007. It is the only district in the Republican River Basin of the Reclamation District that is delivering water in 2007. And I guess that concludes my report. And again, we'll set out some of the copies of this report for others who might be interested in looking at these numbers. With that, I'll introduce Jack Morgan before I grab out of this.
Good morning. My name is Jack Wergen. I'm the group leader of the Water Management and Development Group in the Grand Island Office of the Bureau of Reclamation. I just want to hit a couple brief topics on some of the programs we have. water conservation and planning and technical assistance. As far as water conservation, in 2006 and 07, we've continued to provide some funding assistance through our Water Conservation Field Service Program for the replacement of open ditch laterals with buried pipe. And some of the districts that take advantage of this have been Frenchman, Cambridge, Nebraska Bostwick, Kansas Bostwick, and even Almena Irrigation District. We've also provided some assistance for some remote monitoring of canal diversions, some key canal measurement sites, and also some increased river sites with the Department of Natural Resources of Nebraska on the Republican. Through the field service program, we've got some demonstration, irrigation demonstration projects that we provide some cost share with, and one of these is with a subsurface drip irrigation system up in North Platte through the University of Nebraska, and I believe there's a field day coming up in September on that. One is with Kansas State near Cortland, which we provided some funding assistance for a sprinkler installation and also a subsurface drip irrigation system, and I believe Kenny told me that field day will be August 21st for that system. One of the popular demonstration projects we have is a limited irrigation or deficit irrigation project that we have with the University of Nebraska. Steve Melvin's an extension educator out of Curtis, Nebraska. And he's got a number of field days coming up, like August 23rd in Bartley, August 28th in Imperial, August 30th in Curtis. There's also one, in August 16th in Loomis, and another one August 23rd in Upland. And that's been kind of a popular program. I'll touch a little bit on the Water 2025 projects in the area. Water 2025 is a challenge grant program to promote water conservation and improved efficiencies. Nebraska Bostwick Irrigation District received a proposal in 2005 for replacement of approximately 11 miles of open ditch lateral with buried pipe. Also in 2005, Kansas Department of Agriculture was awarded funding for a pilot project that would install some remote monitoring equipment on, the goal was put on about approximately 100 diversions in the lower Republican, and this was to improve administration of water rights, and it allowed the Division of Water Resources and the cooperators to remotely monitor their pumping diversions. And there's been this is kind of a developing technology, so there's been a few snags with the pumping data getting reported, but it's been very successful as far as retrieving the data from some observation wells. So within a month here, Kansas Bostwick has been awarded a Water 2025 funding for a replacement of about 9 miles of open ditch pipe. So Kenny's going to be busy with that over the next couple of years here. So we were glad to hear that. As far as some of the planning programs we have going, I think later on the agenda there's the Lower Republican River Basin feasibility study will be on there. In 2005, Reclamation completed an appraisal study for the Lower Republican that looked at ways of better utilizing the water supplies in the lower portion of the basin. And this was started at the request of Kansas and Nebraska. And some of the alternatives we looked at, the results were that there is some unutilized flows in the lower portion of the basin, and that if we could come up with some additional storage, they could be better utilized. So one of them was to maybe increase the storage in Lovell Reservoir. And our appraisal study recommended that there was interest in further federal involvement in proceeding to a feasibility study, which would take authorization and appropriation by Congress. And H.R. 1025 is the Lower Republican River Basin Study Act, and it was passed in the House on May 7th. And I believe it was late July they had a Senate subcommittee on this bill that Larry Todd from Reclamation testified on. One of the other studies we have that's been kind of lagging is the Frenchman Valley Appraisal Study. We're working with the Department of Natural Resources and the NRDs and the Game and Parks Commission and the Frenchman Valley Irrigation District and HRW Irrigation District to look at ways to develop and evaluate alternative management methods in the Frenchman Valley system. we're trying to optimize the economic environmental benefits of water in this area. And they've been historically water short for years, and Don Felker's been involved in that. We've got a meeting scheduled next week for that to continue that project. As far as technical assistance to states, we've provided assistance to both Nebraska and Kansas for some mapping of irrigated acres. I believe in 06 we finished the Prairie Dog Creek area below the Lower Norton Reservoir. And this just recently, I don't think we've provided the final product to Kansas, but we've finished mapping some of the irrigated acres in the Lower Republican area. So we really have a good support from our regional office on that. We really appreciate that, and that's been a value to us. So I think that's all I have. If you have any questions, or you can see me later.
Is this the Frenchman Valley appraisal study, is that related to Enders Reservoir then?
Yes, and what we're trying to do is look at different methods. We're just in the initial stages. We've identified some early alternatives, like, for example, the Gaiman Parks is looking for some higher minimum reservoir levels, and just some different maybe ways of operating on the flows that are available down at the Diversion Dam. The best use of the natural flows, the storage water from Enders, and we'll be looking at some different scenarios. And then and the point we're at right now, we've just run some initial modeling runs.
Okay. Yeah,
I think Scott Gunther's going to talk later on the conservation meetings.
All right. I think maybe we need a little break here. We've heard quite a bit. Why don't we find out? We'll convene. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I think these the core of the USDS have a report. Do you want to come forward? I think this will be short. Thank you. I trust these will be short.
I will agree.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, and everyone in attendance here this morning. My name is Christopher Perzer. I'm the chief of the water management section in the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers. And I would just very briefly want to report to you all basically a status update on four issues of concern to the Republican River as a whole. Beginning with the progress that's been made in the last calendar year with regards to the Harlan County Dam Safety Study. Within the last calendar year, I was out at the project office and presented I was a participant in a briefing that went on there at the project office, and that presentation had a twofold purpose. It was to both further clarify and define the progress of the study to that point in time and a roadmap for the future. And my particular contribution was to discuss the interim operating plan, with my focus being operations based. I was there to discuss how flood control and surcharge operations are impacted by the deficiencies that were identified in the Harlan County Dam Safety Assurance Study. Since that time, there has been considerable work that's been done. It is expected that the report will be completed early in 2008. I think that's going to be calendar 2008 rather than fiscal. But when that report is released, there will be a draft and environmental impact assessment noted in that report. And one of the other major components, of course, will be the impacts downstream to describe damages as a result of the conditions in which the dam exists right now, and the impacts of flood control releases downstream. So when we discussed it when we presented the information last summer, that work had yet to be completed. It was identified as a need so that we could inform people downstream as to the increased level of risk given the state that the state of repair is required at the dam. So much of that work has been completed. What remains yet to be done is an assessment downstream of Milford Dam, and it's just in the course of releases from Harlan County Dam itself, there would be a need to release water from Milford Reservoir in a very controlled manner, but that all needs to be assessed yet. So we're coming in very close to completion there. Next, I'd like to discuss, there were two deviation requests that were they're fairly routine. One, of course, is there's traditionally been a request to store flood control water or irrigation storage in the flood control pool at Lovewell Reservoir. And that has been, that was, as Bill had mentioned, that was approved this year. But there have been other actions going on behind the scene, and our office and the Bureau, I'm not sure of all the players, but the Corps and the Bureau have been working hard to modify the water control manual, the lake regulation manual by which we operate, by which the releases are made from the flood control pool out of Lovewell, in order to accommodate continued storage of irrigation water based on an appropriate trigger, continued storage in the flood control pool. And we've made that study was initiated, that modification to the reservoir regulation manual was begun in earnest in August of 2006. And we completed a draft and submitted it to HIRE, our reservoir control center, our division superiors, and it was met with favorable review. But where it sits right now is there will not be a permission to store, there will not be a deviation granted to store water in the flood control pool in Lovewell Reservoir in future years until such time as we can get either through coordination, we've been working between the Bureau and ourselves, but there has to be NEPA compliance. NEPA compliance is outside of my lane, but it is essential. It's an essential component in the process. And right now, that's where we're stalled. We were able to achieve approval for Lovewell for the deviation for this year based on the efforts of the Bureau and my office to achieve a rational basis for the approval. But there's an essential element that's missing here. It's largely environmental, it's largely reporting, it's largely public information process. So that's where we stand with Lovewell. Also, Milford Reservoir, Milford Lake, there was also a deviation request put forward to store water in the flood control pool at Milford Reservoir, and they, based on hydrologic conditions before the request was put forward, we recommended approval of that deviation, and the district was able to secure approval to store water in the flood control pool at Milford Lake, the purpose of which was to offset the drawdown, the impacts of Missouri River navigation support out of Milford Reservoir on the main stem Missouri River. And while we received approval for that deviation request, things turned very rainy in the interim from April to the present, and although it's now grown hot, but we have that deviation approval in our pocket, and we continue to monitor, as Ann had mentioned, the drought monitor and the drought forecast for just to be aware, keep our finger on the pulse of what conditions are in the basin. But to this point in time, we have not implemented it. And what we are doing at Milford is releasing water from the first few feet of the flood control pool. We're principally, we're not storing it per se, but we're not making minimum releases. We are doing something more than minimum releases because we have authority to do so in support of fish and wildlife benefits. So we're making something more than minimum releases from those first few feet above multipurpose, but we're not driving it down directly to multipurpose pool. So that covers those two elements. Let me just consult my notes here briefly because I hate to forget something. Oh, the last element I would like to briefly touch on is that the district has been working, has been funding through its own operations and maintenance funding without external funding. But to this point, we've been working on a Kansas River model. And that has, we've reported on the Kansas River model in the past. Some of you may be aware of it. The state of Kansas, I think, is aware. I just wanted to take this opportunity to point out that we've actually had two occasions to use the model itself is not yet complete. As an overview, it's envisioned to have three components to the overall model. One is hydrologic and hydraulic. The second is economic, and the third is environmental. And we have the hydrologic hydraulic component is complete, and the other two modules, economic has progressed significantly, and the environmental is the least rigorously developed of us. It needs the most development. But in the last year, we've had occasion to utilize the Kansas River model, such as we have. It's a riverware CADS West program that's the basis for it. And we've used it in documenting the Corps' position with regards to the biological opinion, in particular with regards to the terns and plovers that nest on the Kansas River or have been nesting in recent years on the Kansas River. So it was instrumental in establishing the Corps position there, and is also instrumental in the work that was done to support the Corps and Bureau position with regards to storing water at Lovewell. So kind of pleased to be able to demonstrate that we've actually used some of those tax dollars to have good purpose. And if there are any other, that ends my presentation. If y'all have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
I have one. On the EBA's request on Lovewell, is there anything that we can do to help get that installed? I think state of Kansas, the Foster District, really even that's part of the Foster water supply, even or benefit Nebraska directly. What can we do to help that process along? Who do we need to address our concerns here?
The who is probably the most germane question. I don't have the answer to that, but I can talk with you offline. But I will say that from this discussions that we've had at the staff level to this point, there is a unique relation. There's a federal responsibility that's shared between the Bureau and the Corps to develop the manuals and to revise them as necessary. And the stumbling block is funding for the NEPA process. That's what it comes down to. And we were looking at each other trying to figure out how we could best overcome that. The technical assessment from the H&H standpoint, and whether there's quantifying the hydrologic risk, we were able, we could eat that internally from our just technical work budget. But this is a function that's outside of the water management section. It's an environmental need, and they can't do it without funding. So
you can provide information as to what to address our concerns.
Roger, appreciate that.
Any other questions? Okay.